is Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. An undocumented migrant arrested and accused of threatening to assassinate President Trump may have been set up.
The case involves a 54-year-old Mexican man who is said to have sent handwritten letters threatening to kill the president. The Homeland Security Secretary heralded his arrest. Now Wisconsin officials say that man, Ramon Morales Reyes, was himself a victim of a setup. Noting he can't speak or write English, they've now charged a Milwaukee inmate who had already been accused of assaulting Morales Reyes and stealing his bike with sending the letters to prevent him from testifying at trial this summer. That inmate, Demetric Deshaun Scott, now faces witness intimidation counts.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Senate lawmakers continue debating the GOP reconciliation bill. President Trump criticizing some hardline and fiscal conservatives on social media posts who could hold up the bill's passage. Newark's Mayor Ross Baraka filing a lawsuit against New Jersey interim U.S. Attorney Alina Haba following his arrest at an immigration detention facility. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Some Democratic lawmakers say a man here in the country illegally is being framed here in Wisconsin.
The number you have reached has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
That's the answer when you call the Milwaukee field office for ICE, at least as of Monday. The same day, Congressman Mark Pocan toured the Dodge County Jail, where 54-year-old undocumented immigrant Ramon Morales Reyes is being held.
We have congressional prerogative to do an unannounced visit. In fact, I think a requirement, really, morally, to do an unannounced visit to these facilities. Dodge County Jail is the only ICE facility in Wisconsin, so we went to go there. It took about an hour to get us into the process.
Morales Reyes is detained after Homeland Security accused him of threatening former President Donald Trump in a handwritten letter, but his lawyers and lawmakers say he was framed. WISN reports Demetric Scott, another Milwaukee man, admitted Monday to writing the letter and forging Morales Reyes' name. It claimed the writer would self-deport, but not before shooting Trump at a rally. Morales Reyes, who can't read or write in English or Spanish, was applying for a visa and preparing to testify against Scott in an assault case. Prosecutors say Scott confessed to framing him to derail that trial. Morales Reyes has a bond hearing Wednesday, after which he could be released. Congresswoman Gwen Moore also visited yesterday and described the conditions at the jail.
We did ask them particularly about medical and about nutrition and the ability to get exercise. They say that they're treated like other detainees who are citizens, that they're able to earn privileges and to be able to go out.
Moore says she'll go back if Morales Reyes is still detained at the end of this week. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers OTAs continue here at Lambeau Field. Anthony Belton is the Packers' second-round pick out of NC State, competing for a spot on the offensive line. I asked him if he's been more nervous or excited to be in the NFL.
It's a little bit of both, because, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you're in a new environment around people you're not really too familiar with. But also, it's like you're excited because this is what you've been wanting to do since you was a kid, a lifelong dream. You get a chance to keep playing the game you've been loving since a kid. It's like, it's a blessing. But you're going to be nervous at first a little bit.
Baseball, the Brewers and Reds series continues tonight in Cincinnati. Milwaukee winning 3-2 last night, thanks to another home run by Christian Yelich, named National League Player of the Week. Yelich, hit by a pitch Sunday, still managed to hit his sixth home run in the past 10 games.
He crushed two balls tonight that, you know, sore hand or not, he's living up to his Player of the Week, you know, outstanding.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. In fact, we could get some heavy rain, a half inch to an inch or more possible later today through tonight. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80. We'll drop to the mid to upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, a few lingering showers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 78.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, Jim Santel joins me. We go deep on the conservatives writing in opposition to Donald Trump's tariff terror.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. This is amazing. The chief postal inspector, a guy by the name of Gary Barksdale, he got this job, you know, from being a Trump suck-up. And he's put in a request to, he's reiterated essentially a request from former Postmaster General Louis DeJoy to DOGE. Please come in and ruin the U.S. Postal Service. Obviously, he doesn't use those words, but as Alexandria Jacobson, the investigative reporter for Raw Story, writes, the request surprised more than half a dozen experts who reviewed the memo. One, James O'Rourke. O'Rourke is a professor of management at the University of Notre Dame's Mendoza College of Business. He specializes in studying the Postal Service. And he said, I think this foray into the postal inspector's realm and his office is to put the postal inspector on notice that DOGE is looking at them. He went on to add, the end game is the dissolution of the U.S. Postal Service. Parts will be sold, and it will be entirely privatized if the administration gets its way. It's pretty mind-boggling when you think about it, you know, how far that they want to go with this. The U.S. Postal Service, by the way, reported a $9.5 billion loss last year. That's a $6.5 billion loss the year before that. But O'Rourke, this, you know, professor who studies the post office, this is kind of his thing, he says, so what? You know, so we lost $6 billion on the Postal Service. I mean, you know, do you want to go back to the days when we did not have rural delivery? Rural delivery is the most expensive part of this whole thing, right? There's just not that many people that you're delivering to. It's taking you all day to travel, you know, all, through all these back roads and rural places. And in basically red state America, that's who gets screwed if you do away with rural delivery. And you could easily make the post office profitable and more efficient just by getting rid of rural delivery. So he says, you know, but this is a service. It's called the U.S. Postal Service. It's the only service that's in the Constitution. And he goes on to say, he says, we don't ask the Marine Corps to make money. We don't ask the fire department to make money. We don't even ask them to break even because they don't. They can't. He said, we're asking that of government services like the Postal Service. The demand is start making money or we'll take you over and sell you and we'll show you how to make money. That's crazy. I agree. But here we are. I mean, you know, we've got an administration and they're using the language of privatization like, hey, this is some brilliant innovation thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. And really what it's all about is that there are a couple of companies out there that are in the shipping business, Louis DeJoy may own one of them. I don't know. I mean, you know, he donated a bunch of money to Donald Trump to get that gig as Postmaster General. I doubt he did it because he thought it would be fun. But who knows? But in any case, there's a bunch of companies out there that are more than happy to make large donations to Republican legislators if those Republican legislators will take the Postal Service apart and give some of its pieces to these companies. That's what's really going on here. What's really going on here is that basically we're watching bribery in action. Bribery authorized, certified by people who themselves were being bribed, people on the U.S. Supreme Court. People like Clarence Thomas, who took millions of dollars worth of gifts and vacations and toys and tuition for his son and a house for his mother from right-wing billionaires. So you've got judges who are on the take, and they rule that, hey, it's okay to be on the take. And so now you got politicians on the take, and these politicians on the take are fixing to destroy our postal service so that some companies that are paying off the politicians on the take can, you know, become more profitable. And, of course, in the process, raise our postal rates dramatically. It's just wrong. Meanwhile, there was an office in the executive branch whose job, the job of this office, the entire job of this office, was to monitor foreign disinformation coming into the United States, to catch when Russia or Iran or China or Saudi Arabia or some other bad actor decides that they're going to pump a bunch of lies into our social media and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, this one office doing this has been put under the control of a guy by the name of Darren Beatty. He's in the State Department. He's temporary. He's an acting person. He's never been vetted. Trump gave him a security clearance along with everybody else, even though this guy has some interesting connections, shall we say. This is from a piece by Benedict Smith, published in The Telegraph in the UK. A senior official who dismantled the U.S. government's Russian disinformation unit is married to a Russian woman with links to the Kremlin, The Telegraph can reveal. Darren Beatty has provoked alarm within the State Department since being appointed in February for his ardent pro-Russian views. He has been noted for his focus on destroying the agency tasked with tackling Kremlin propaganda. His current title is Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy and Public Affairs. In the years before joining the government, Mr. Beatty wrote social media attacking what he described as the globalist American empire. Many of Mr. Beatty's social media posts, this is the Telegraph I'm sharing with you, also concerned China, repeatedly calling on the U.S. to surrender Taiwan to Beijing and labeling Britain a poor and pathetic kingdom that would be far better off under Chinese dominion. State Department sources expressed skepticism over whether he had undergone security vetting. Gee, you think? He was fired, actually. He was part of Trump's first administration, but then in 2018, he showed up at a white supremacist convention, and so they fired him. Now he's back. So he wrote on one of his social media posts, he wrote, the rise of non-woke China and anti-woke Russia, geopolitical competitors to the globalist American empire, is not a bad thing. He also said he looked forward to to America's prestige and power collapsing on the world stage and claimed that our, quote, position in the global order is rapidly deteriorating. Yeah, this is the guy who is stopping Russian propaganda. He argues that the U.S. has sought to engineer color revolutions around the world. This is one of Putin's big things. He wrote, the U.S. is running color revolution ops in Ukraine, Hong Kong, Xinjiang, and Myanmar. And that an American color revolution brigade is pushing for a forever war in Ukraine. Again, quoting from the Telegraph, 2 months before Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, he said, quote, imagine the whining from the globalist American empire if Putin invades Ukraine. I love it when our national security bureaucrats fail. He's now one of them. He also has praised Putin as, quote, brave and strong, and claimed the Russian leader, quote, has done more to advance conservative positions in the U.S. than any Republican. NATO is a much greater threat to American liberty than Putin ever was, he writes. And he adds, the funny thing is just about every Western institution would improve in quality if it were directly infiltrated and controlled by Putin. I'm not making this up. This is the guy Trump hired to be in charge of running the agency that determines whether Russian propaganda is infiltrating American media. He also had tweeted about Marco Rubio, saying that Rubio attended gay foam parties, but he has now deleted those tweets. But the other tweets are still around. The Telegraph notes he focused a disproportionate amount of time on seeking to dismantle the counter foreign information manipulation and interference hub known as RFIMI while building cultural ties with Russia. That's the agency that he's taking apart. RFIMI, which tracked and countered propaganda from sources including Russia, China, and Iran, was a relatively small agency with a budget of just over $50 million at the time it was shut down. Mr. Beattie's news outlet, he used to run a right-wing news site, it was called Revolver, had spent years attacking RFIMI, accusing it of being part of a censorship network designed to silence conservative voices. Sources said Mr. Beattie has doggedly pursued the agency after being appointed, taking it apart piece by piece. At the same time he was working on dismantling the agency, the Telegraph reports, he is said to have pushed to rebuild relations with Russia. He has also taken a significant interest in classified material related to Russia, prompting widespread concern about turning over sensitive information to him. Again, this is a guy who was never vetted, but Trump gave him a top secret security clearance. On his first day in office, the Telegraph notes, Mr. Trump unilaterally granted top secret security clearances to personnel in the executive office. He's limited to 210 days in office because he's acting, but Trump had a whole bunch of acting people during his last term and just, you know, let it go on and on and on and on and on. So, wild stuff. The end game of the Postal Service. And now Donald Trump is still trying to grab Greenland. And Ukraine just pulled off another little coup. I'll share those two stories with you on the other side of the break, and I'll pick up your calls. Stay with us. It's 16 minutes past the hour. It's the Tom Hartman Program, the place where smart people get their news.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I'll be right back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment. Stay with us. I don't have any face lotion products, but Vibrance is one both Louise and I use. How many products do you have? If it's more than just Vibrance Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and dark spot reducers. Louise noticed that her skin felt softer and looks brighter right away. Made in the USA with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, Super C Serum delivers noticeable results. So simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrance. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you'll get a full refund. Go to Vibrance.com/Tom to save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance, Vibrience.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Vibrance.com/Tom.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump recently announced pardons to a range of individuals, including convicted drug dealers, fraudsters, and convicted public officials. ABC News reports 1 in 5 have political or financial ties to the president. Scott Jenkins, a former Culpeper County, Virginia sheriff, had been sentenced to 10 years for taking $75,000 in bribes in exchange for issuing deputy sheriff's badges. Jenkins had been a longtime Trump supporter. Ardent Trump acolyte Michelle Fiore had not yet been sentenced when she received her pardon on April 23rd. A former member of the Nevada Assembly, she was convicted of 6 counts of wire fraud for skimming money from a memorial for a slain Las Vegas police officer. She used the money for rent, plastic surgery, and her daughter's wedding. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was pardoned in February after endorsing Trump's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. Blagojevich appeared on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in 2010, but was convicted in 2011 of attempting to sell President Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat, among other corruption charges. Former Kentucky State Senator and 2016 congressional candidate Brian Kelsey served only 2 weeks of a 21-month sentence on federal campaign finance violations before he was pardoned in March. We have a full list of Trump's pardons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Always a good time when you stop in at Ooga Brewing in Beaver Dam. You won't want to miss the live music every week on the Ooga patio. Plus, June is Pride Month, so let your flag fly. And be sure to catch the family-friendly Pride Celebration June 28th on South Spring Street. And while you're there, stop in to try Pajama Panda. It's on tap. This new creation is a tart ale brewed with koji and plum. Ooga Brewing Company, 301 South Spring Street, part of Beaver Dam's vibrant downtown.
Missed my opening rant today? It's usually published over at HartmanReport.com, where you can read it and share it with your friends for free. Check it out, HartmanReport.com. You know, lately it seems like the wall between church and state is under full-scale attack. In Texas, lawmakers want to post the Ten Commandments in public school classrooms and give school boards the power to approve prayer sessions and Bible readings. At the federal level, a new bill just passed the House that removes Medicaid coverage for gender-affirming care, not just for youth, but everyone. And the Supreme Court, they're about to hear a case that could let religious charter schools access public funding, completely blurring the line between church and state. If this sounds extreme, that's because it is. The Freedom From Religion Foundation has been pushing back since 1978. They're on the front lines defending the Constitution, making sure public funds, public schools, and public policy stay secular. If you believe in facts over faith-based legislation, now is the time to act. Go to ffrf.us/freedom or text my last name, Hartman, with two N's to 511-511 and become a member today. Join us and go to ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511 to support their work. Because when religion starts driving public policy, democracy takes a back seat. Text fees may apply. Country's walls. Stormer's book was passed around. Fear was set in stone. So Ukraine came out and took out the Kerch Bridge. This is a bridge between Crimea and Russia that the Russians built after they seized Crimea, and they're using this bridge to transport weapons into Ukraine from Russia to fuel their war effort. And the SBU, which is the Ukrainian Secret Service kind of thing or whatever, kind of part CIA, part SEAL Team 6, they planted 1,100 kilograms, about 2,500 pounds of explosives around the base of this bridge and just blew it up. So step by step here, I mean, this comes the day after, a couple days after they blew up a bunch of bombers, long-range bombers all across. And Russia is now retaliating in a big way. This is, this report is from the Metro.co, Sarah Hooper, writing for the Metro newspaper in the UK, quote, cities across Ukraine were on fire today in savage new Russian strikes as the Kremlin dictator began exacting revenge
for the destruction and damage to his nuclear-capable TM-95MSs and TU-22M aircraft. At least three people were killed and two wounded in shelling in the Kramatorsk district of the Donetsk region. In the Kharkiv region, one person was killed and another injured as Putin's forces struck civilian areas, damaging a postal terminal and warehouse. Russian drones exploded in residential buildings in Chernihiv, with multiple casualties reported. And in Odessa, four people were injured as fires blazed in the Black Sea port city, including a warehouse filled with food products. So Putin is getting his revenge. Ukraine is suffering. Speaking of Greenland now, Trump keeps saying he wants Greenland to be part of the United States, that Greenland should be an extension of North America, that as the Arctic melts, the northern coast of Greenland is going to become strategically, I mean, it already is to some extent, strategically incredibly important. And so what Trump just did, and this is fascinating, Greenland used to be controlled by protected by, in addition to NATO and it's, you know, being owned by Denmark, protected by the U.S. European command. And now Trump wants to move Greenland out of being protected by our European forces, and place it under the North America, CENTCOM, the U.S. Northern Command. U.S. Northern Command, which would align Greenland with the U.S. and North America rather than aligning it with Europe, even though it's owned by Denmark. This is something that the Danish are a little concerned about. The 58,000 people who live in Greenland are worried about it. Putting Greenland under Northern Command would, in effect, cleave Greenland from Denmark when it comes to how the island is prioritized in policy discussions in the Pentagon and White House. The Danish government says that they were not informed of this move. So this is, the newspaper notes, the switch is the most concrete step yet in the Trump administration's months-long effort to gain ownership over Greenland. And they're calling it a symbolic gesture that would more closely align the island territory with the U.S., as Trump continues to show interest in taking over the Arctic landmass. Keep an eye on this. This isn't just the ramblings of a crazy guy. Trump is very serious about this. And in an era where, you know, he's also supporting Putin and seizing Ukraine, I mean, this is a very problematic behavior by these leaders. We'll be right back with your calls after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Speaking the truth, the Trump administration would really rather you didn't know all about. I'll be right back with your call.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
I know you've got a gazillion photos sitting on your phone right now. Well, don't leave them there. Get them printed for free and delivered straight to your door with free prints.
With more than 1 million five-star reviews, FreePrints is the world's favorite way to get premium quality photo prints. No subscriptions, no commitments, just 1,000 free prints a year. Go to FreePrints.com or download the FreePrints app directly from Google Play or the App Store. That's FreePrints or FreePrints.com. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at Hartman Report.
Crop farmers here in the U.S. are always keeping an eye on South America, whether it be weather or their crop condition. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to give an update on how the South American corn crop is looking as we start June.
Biggest talk in the marketplace, one of the biggest things weighing on corn too, is just the fact that South American crop is in such good shape. You were hearing talk up to 140 million metric tons, you know, could be coming out of there as a total corn crop. Most of that, obviously, in this second crop, what we call the Safrina corn, which is the exportable corn that we compete against. You know, right now we're pretty much even price with Brazil in terms of export prices on the global scale. We're still seeing some corn move here, especially at these price levels, which is encouraging, you know, from the standpoint of our old crop supply is pretty doggone tight and probably needs to get tighter.
As Heinberg was saying, the South American corn crop is looking good, but we should remain cautiously optimistic moving forward. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Mmm, pancakes, potatoes, sausage, eggs, oh my. Come hungry to the Marquette County June Dairy Breakfast on Sunday, June 8th at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield. In addition to breakfast, enjoy live music, farm tours, a petting zoo, and kid games. You can also try your luck at bingo. Breakfast and activities start at 7 a.m. at Slowey Farms on Evergreen Avenue in Westfield on June 8th. For full event details, see our event on Facebook.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the markets are moving in Chicago midday this Tuesday. It's a tale of two stories today as cash corn is up a penny at 439 and a quarter, with new crop corn up 2.5 cents at 438 and a quarter. Cash soybeans are up 5.5 at 1039, with new crop soybeans up 3.25 at 1020 and a quarter. July wheat is also seeing a small gain, up 1.5 cents at 540 and a half. Class 3 milk is not having as good of a day, with July contracts down 32 cents at 1935 a hundredweight, and August contracts down 29 cents at 1930 a hundredweight. With the look at your midday markets from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely. In fact, we could get some heavy rain, a half inch to an inch or more possible later today through tonight. Our high today in the upper 70s to near 80. We'll drop to the mid to upper 50s tonight. Tomorrow, a few lingering showers with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your support. Share the Tom Hartman Program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com. Hey, if you're over 50 and experiencing joint stiffness, thinning hair, sagging skin, or brittle nails is a critical reason why, and ignoring it could accelerate aging from the inside out. A respected Texas doctor of physical therapy is sounding the alarm on a rapid decline in collagen, a structural protein essential for strong bones, flexible joints, and youthful skin. By age 50, your collagen levels may have dropped by over 50%, leaving your body vulnerable to pain, weakness, and visible signs of aging. That's why millions have turned to his breakthrough formula, Native Path Collagen, to restore what time takes away. Louise adds it to our coffee every morning. This isn't another generic supplement. This is clinically supported, bioavailable collagen peptides that are helping men and women significantly strengthen bones and reduce joint pain and visibly reduce wrinkles and sagging skin. And right now, as a Tom Hartman listener, I can get you 45% off, but only for a limited time at getnativepath.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Go to getnativepath, G-E-T, getnativepath.com/Tom, T-H-O-M now. Supplies limited and demand is surging.
But look who's leading, it's all a facade. They're tearing down the nation, leaving its scars. Marco at State, pushing hard lines. Pam at Justice, ignoring the signs. They call it greatness, but we all see this ain't a cabinet. It's a travesty. Welcome to Trump's Wrecking Crew, where the rich get richer and we get screwed. No law, no truth, no democracy, just greed, corruption, and hypocrisy. RFK Jr. in health, denying the
facts. Welcome back, 36 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls here, John in Minneapolis. Hey, John, what's up?
Yeah, I've wanted to talk about Medicaid. You know, I do think that Jody Ernst is a real believer in euthanasia. I think we should bring that up. And also how hypocritical these people who profess to be Christian when really they're only pro-birth, but anything that happens in between that and death is, you have to die, I guess, to give a tax incentive to billionaires.
Yeah.
And it's, it's totally unnecessary. I mean, this is to give a $4 trillion tax cut. And you've discussed this before. I mean, how many tax cuts have these billionaires got since Ronald Reagan? We could have afforded to have the greatest healthcare system in the world from birth all the way to death, and every other country in Western world, has
already has
care.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, they already have that. And I know one person who lives in Canada, is from Canada. He has worked all his life here, but his mother died at 96, and she lived in a nursing home the last several years of her life. And she paid $10 a month for her own care. And it was quite good care. And so why can't we do that here? We are a richer country. It's a choice. It's a choice that's made for us, I think, by very, very wealthy people, since Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. It's just pathetic. And the hypocrisy is so thick, you can cut it with a knife. And we should remind them that this is not what the choice that Christians would make when they are in power, to deny people the right to life. And it was our founding documents, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness from the Declaration of Independence that came to us from John Locke. I mean, you cannot have life if you don't have your medications and your health care, and you're, not housed and all of these kinds of things. It's just, it doesn't exist. And why should we go back, before the Enlightenment and just, make us all into serfs and
Agreed.
And also, you don't have to be a Christian to think that everybody should have access to health care and decent housing, by the way, I would add, and food.
In fact, it's a practical
positive thing. If you want an economy that works, you don't want uneducated people. You don't want hungry people. You don't want unhoused people. If you want this country to work well, then providing a national health care system. I think the Democrats should go big on this. I think they should go, Medicare for all or whatever you want to call it, a national health care system or service. They should be pushing this thing, and they should also be pushing free college for everyone. Let's join the rest of the civilized world. John, thank you. You're spot on. Your points are so well taken. Thank you. Sandra in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, Sandra, what's on your mind today?
Well, the other day you had a caller who had some Republican friends who were looking forward to when much of the population has died off, and then things will be so much better. And I thought, who will be growing the crops? Who will be raising the livestock? Who will be then shipping the livestock, butchering the livestock, cutting it up, wrapping it, preparing it, the food, everything else? Who will be getting the gas out of the ground, and oil out of the ground? Who will be preparing all of that for use?
Well, I think we have the answer to that question, Sandra. Down in Florida, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, I believe all four of those states, I might be wrong, it might just be three of them, have changed their child labor laws so that 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds can do those jobs.
If all the people are dead except the beautiful people, they don't want their kids doing those nasty jobs.
I think they're willing to let them do it.
I don't think there'd be enough people to do those jobs, and therefore they would starve.
I agree.
After having shot themselves in the foot.
Yep. You're right. I was being semi-facetious.
Yeah. But I don't get where they can't see that.
They're blinded by their greed, and the main thing that they're blinded by is this massive right-wing media architecture that's built by right-wing billionaires like Rupert Murdoch and his family, who are these are basically propaganda machines for billionaires, and you've got average Americans buying into it. I know people who watch Fox all day long, and they just believe things that just aren't true. It's bizarre. But it's a billion-dollar propaganda machine, and it really, really works. Sandra, I need to move along. Okay. Thank you for the call. Spot on. Jim in Cottonwood, California. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hey, I'm glad to talk to you. I called last week, and my phone went dead. I'm sorry to tell you that. But what I would like to talk about, I hear the Democrats are always talking about. What can we do? We need to do something, you know? So I've set up a 4-point plan, maybe that a simple plan maybe the Democrats can do that would help us out. So first I'd like to give the listeners a little background. I'm 81 years young. I'm a 50-plus member of the International Brotherhood of Carpenters. I'm past president of pile drivers out of Oakland. So I go back, the days of Dwight D. Eisenhower, Lyndon B. Johnson. I always remember Johnson saying America is like a piece of pie. Everybody gets some people get a big piece and other people get a small piece. So I think the Democrat Party needs to realize that we're at war here. I think that the Republican Party has declared war on us, and we don't know it.
Yeah.
And how they do that is by creating havoc and by such havoc to get their agenda across.
Yeah. Well, they also do it by making it very, very hard for people to vote.
Exactly, and whatever it takes to get their agenda across is they'll do. So I don't think I remember the day when the Republicans and Democrats used to say, for the good of the country or the good of the Constitution, I'm gonna vote for this.
Yeah, you don't hear Republicans saying that anymore.
No,
it's all what's What do the billionaires want from us this week? That's the question that they're constantly asking themselves.
I think Democrats must realize that, hey, we need to steal their plan.
Yeah.
And I suggest that we do.
Yeah. Well, I agree that Democrats need to be getting more aggressive in their language and in their proposals. Jim, thank you. Well said. Charles in Miami. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Fine. What's on your mind?
Okay, great. Great. The reason I'm calling is because, okay, I got a couple of things to say. But first of all, I would like to say, I think to stop this big, beautiful bill, why don't we have the Democrats insisting that, you know, part of the bill should be raised to the minimum wage? Why are we not stopping everything by saying, you know, the billionaires are going to get basically a handout? Why can't the American people?
The Democrats tried to attach an amendment that would have raised the federal minimum wage, and it got voted down. It never even made it out of committee, but it was proposed by the Democrats on the budget committee.
That's great, and I think that if we can try to do it again through the Senate, I would say that. But the reason I'm calling today is because I live in Miami. Basically, I've weathered so many hurricanes, it's just, uncountable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I'm calling in, because what this guy is doing as far as dismantling the New Deal and everything the government has done for people, over the years developing FEMA, you can see thousands of people die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you're ready to see 10 to 20,000 people die, and these hurricanes or any other, firestorms or whatever. These forest fires or whatever, because once that devastation kicks in or comes in, I've stayed like 2 weeks without water, 2 weeks without light. Mm-hmm. And imagine if it's longer than that.
Yeah.
And I just don't think people or Democrats can, crystallize in their minds the catastrophe that can happen if you dismantle FEMA. And I'm just so worried about what's going to happen. And I just can't believe, as far as leadership is concerned, that we've dropped the ball completely.
Yeah. No,
I
get it, Charles. And not only is FEMA going away and has already been kneecapped to a large extent, but now the insurance companies are starting to say, sorry, we won't insure you anymore. Or if you want insurance, it's going to cost you 2, 3, 4 times what it used to cost, and most people won't be able to afford it. I'm with you, Charles. All the while they're denying climate change so that they can keep taking money from their, fossil fuel billionaire buddies. Charles, thanks for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Charles really nails it. I mean, people are going to die as the result of these cutbacks. We'll be right back. Do you trust your deodorant? Most deodorants just don't work for us working guys. But then Mando rolled into town, ready to tackle all over odors before they even start. Mando created high-performance deodorants for whole-body odor control. Safe for your pits, packages, and feet, Mando's science-based formula is pH-optimized, capable of blocking odors before they start. Deodorants you're used to using just mask odors or neutralize them after they form, but Mando is powered by mandelic acid, clinically proven to work all day long. Developed by doctors, it's hypoallergenic and skin-safe for your sensitive parts. You can use Mando all over and leave your odor worries behind. Give Mando a go and see why guys are loving it. If it's not for you, they'll gladly refund you within 60 days. Smell better longer with Mando. Get 20% off site-wide on your first Mando purchase with the code TOM, T-H-O-M, at shopmando.com. Plus, shipping is always free. That's 20% off site-wide for first-time customers with the code TOM at shopmando.com. Shopmando.com.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump recently announced pardons to a range of individuals, including convicted drug dealers, fraudsters, and convicted public officials. ABC News reports one in five have political or financial ties to the president. Scott Jenkins, a former Culpeper County, Virginia sheriff, had been sentenced to 10 years for taking $75,000 in bribes in exchange for issuing deputy sheriff's badges. Jenkins had been a longtime Trump supporter. Ardent Trump acolyte Michelle Fiore had not yet been sentenced when she received her pardon on April 23rd. A former member of the Nevada Assembly, she was convicted of six counts of wire fraud for skimming money from a memorial for a slain Las Vegas police officer. She used the money for rent, plastic surgery, and her daughter's wedding. Former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich was pardoned in February after endorsing Trump's 2020 and 2024 campaigns. Blagojevich appeared on Trump's Celebrity Apprentice in 2010, but was convicted in 2011 of attempting to sell President Barack Obama's vacated U.S. Senate seat, among other corruption charges. Former Kentucky State Senator and 2016 congressional candidate Brian Kelsey served only 2 weeks of a 21-month sentence on federal campaign finance violations before he was pardoned in March. We have a full list of Trump's pardons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian.
Animal enthusiasts, registration is open for Camp Paw Prince Summer Break at Dane County Humane Society. Kids ages 7 to 12 enjoy animal interactions, lessons with experts, service projects, art projects, and more. Visit giveshelter.org/camp for details. And now, Dane County Humane Society has a camp for ages 12 to 14. Camp Wildside is a nature and wildlife camp, bird and plant identification, monitoring nests, wildlife games, service, art projects, and more. Details at giveshelter.org/wildside.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seatbelts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us. Welcome back. 9 minutes before the hour and picking up your calls here. Bob in Springfield, Illinois. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Thanks, Tom. I called last week about Trump's pardon of the Chrisleys, if you remember.
I do.
Yes. I have another one for you here. I was listening to NPR once again last Sunday, June 1st, and Andrea Hsu filed a report concerning federal workers. The report mentioned that there is currently a hiring freeze for federal workers until the 1st of August. And then the disturbing part of the report came on, and that was that apparently people who are seeking employment with the federal government are going to be required to fill out a questionnaire. And to me, it's more of a loyalty questionnaire than pertinent to employment questionnaire. I don't remember all the questions, but the one that got my attention the most was the last one that she mentioned, and that question is, what will you do to advance or further President Trump's agenda. Executive, pardon?
I'm sorry, keep going, Bob.
Well, the question was, what will you do to advance or further President Trump's executive orders?
Right.
And that just turned my stomach. It's disgusting. It sounds, again, I wouldn't want to apply for a federal job at this point, but based on that question alone, there's other questions on there, and I think that's part of the idea, maybe the whole idea, to discourage people from applying for federal jobs.
Yeah. You know, America, because so few people ever took a civics course, most Americans probably have no idea what what the Pendleton Civil Service is or why it is. You know, that in the 1880s, this fellow, you know, the federal appointments, federal jobs were operating on what was called the spoils system, sort of like Tammany Hall in New York back in the day, where if you brought a gift to, and Andrew Jackson started this, by the way, if you brought a gift to the president, he would make sure you got a job. And basically all federal employees, and there weren't that many back in those days, but all federal employees had their first and primary loyalty to the president. And in 1880-something, I forget the year, 6, 7, 8, something like that, I forget which year it was, a fellow came, it might have been actually even the 1870s.
I think it was 1882. I've read about this, what
Garfield?
You're talking about in books.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Was it Garfield? Was it President Garfield? This guy came, he wrote a speech for the president and actually met the president in the Oval Office, gave him the speech and said, this is a brilliant speech. I'd like to be your speechwriter. Will you give me a job? And the president said, no, I won't give you a job. And so a couple of days later, this guy stalked him and shot him and killed him.
Yes, that was Garfield,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And the result of that, what came out of that, was Senator Pendleton proposing that there be a professional civil service and end the spoils system, where federal employees are no longer beholden to the president for their job or anything. They are completely independent of the president. And the civil service system is designed to just get the most competent people. And that stood up until the Trump administration. And now Trump is trying to basically unwire that. And he's trying to take us back to the spoils system, back to Andrew Jackson's spoils system. And not only is it corrupt, you know, but it also is not good for government. I mean, it's bad for the United States to have people who are basically incompetent, but they have jobs because they made a donation to the president or they bought a bunch of his Bitcoin or they said something nice about him on Fox News. It's just crazy.
I think it was the Pendleton Act, I believe is what it was called.
Yeah.
And yes, that goes back to our what you mentioned about the director of FEMA. I mean, he's hiring the dumbest, the stupidest people.
He's got a reality TV star running the FAA, Sean Duffy.
Yeah. Yes, it's disgusting. It's amazing. But well, it isn't. It shouldn't amaze me, considering who we're talking about, who's in charge. But it still amazes me, and it still disgusts me.
Yeah, it is. There's something deeply wrong with this whole thing, and the thing that horrifies me the most, Bob, is that you know occasionally you encounter people who know the history of it. Obviously, you do. My experience has been that very few people have ever heard of the Pendleton Civil Service Act. Or know the story of Garfield and his assassination and why we have a civil service, or even that there was a time when we didn't have it and we ran on the spoils system and it was just insanely corrupt. And you know, it's like we really need more civics education in this country. We really, really, truly do.
And unfortunately, the people in charge right now are trying to get rid of civics education, and they add more.
Yeah, and that started with Reagan, cutting funding for civics education at the federal level. Yeah, I'm with you. Bob, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to WNMF, and appreciate you calling in. We're hitting the top of the hour here on the other side of the break. Ice-grabbing teens driving to volleyball practice and the GOP trying to cut Obamacare. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
If you're still tossing and turning all night and feeling edgy during the day, let me tell you about CBD from CB Distillery. Millions are turning to CBD for their relief because it works. In fact, over 90% of customers report better sleep with CBD. And it's not just sleep. CB Distillery offers targeted formulations for just about everything. Sleep, stress, mood and focus, pain after exercise. They even have CBD for pets. And it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. My favorites are the sleep gummies, by the way. They really work. And with over 2 million satisfied customers, a 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. So if you're struggling with sleep, stress, or other health concerns and haven't found relief, make the change like millions are to CBD from CB Distillery. And for a limited time, you can save 25% off your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and just use the promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, at cbdistillery.com, promo code Tom. Specific product availability.
Hey, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing from their mattress. A good night's rest, am I right? It's not rocket science. You don't need a physics genius to make you a futuristic space bed. You just need someone to listen to what you want and who knows the materials that will get you there. And you might even be surprised to learn that that someone could be living right next door. At Verlo, we're your friendly neighborhood mattress genius. American made, locally crafted. Welcome to Verlo.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. GOP leaders pushing to pass the budget reconciliation measure before the July 4th break. The House passed that measure by just one vote. And some senators are not on board with the tax breaks or cuts to programs like Medicaid. President Trump now criticizing those members who may hold up the bill and working the phones. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House.
The president is doing that personal outreach with phone calls and in-person meetings that will continue likely over the next couple of weeks. He has set that July 4th deadline for the Senate to pass this, get it back to the House, have the House pass it, and then get it to the president's desk for his signature. That is a very ambitious timeline.
Aid groups say aid distribution sites in Gaza run by Israel are not addressing the dire food needs and also putting lives in danger. Gunfire ringing out.